is acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
You'll turn to Luke chapter 24. This is kind of Father Chris's sermon part two, I guess. In chapter 24 and verse 48, God bless you, Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." In the Greek, that verse is only three words. Humes, which is the plural of you, which means y'all, okay? Y'all. Martyris, which is witnesses. It's where we get the word martyr in English. Martyris, witnesses, martyr. And I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. And then the last word is tuton, of these things. Y'all are witnesses of these things. Now, as I said, the Greek word martyrs is where we get the English word martyr. Now, if you look up martyr in an English dictionary, excuse me, it's very different from how Luke uses it in his gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles. In an English dictionary, you'll find it says martyr is a person killed because of religious or other beliefs, or a person who sheds blood on behalf of their beliefs. But Luke is using the word martyrs here, as it says, as witnesses. It comes from the classical Greek martus, which means to bear in mind or to remember. Okay? It's a legal term, actually. And a martyrus is one who is a witness for the prosecution. Okay? So, for example, in the Wild West, a guy sees a man come and he rides his horse up, he hitches his horse, he gets off, he goes inside. Here comes another guy and he unhitches the horse and he jumps on the back and rides away. And so the witness for the prosecution, the martyr, goes into the court, not worrying about the fact that the guy who stole the horse also had a couple of six shooters on his sides, you know. But he goes in and he proclaims, "Your Honor, I saw the owner of the horse get off the horse and tie it up and go inside. And I saw this man right here, and he came and he stole that horse. This man is guilty." Regardless of the consequences, he stands firm and tells the truth. Okay, and that's an important word here. In Luke, the word martyrs appears only twice. Okay? It only appears twice in the gospel. The first time it is used in the classical Greek sense, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You are witnesses, you are martyrs, and consent to the deeds of your fathers who killed the prophets." Oh, yeah, and that's a very legal idea, terminology that he's using there. Excuse me. But in today's gospel, in Luke chapter 24, verse 48, what Luke is doing is he's using this word, and it's a turning point in the understanding of what it means to be a martyr, what it means to be a witness, okay? Look at verses 45 through 47. Jesus opened their minds, that's the disciples' minds, to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So there he's basically laid out what the gospel has proclaimed. And then Jesus adds, you are witnesses of these things. Luke is arguing that the resurrection of Jesus is an objective fact, and that the disciples are witnesses to these events. Okay? And to be a martyr, then, is to make an emphatic appeal for the recognition of these facts. A martyr knows the truth. A martyr stands in the faith. And in that faith is what we must stand in as witnesses of the resurrection. It's a fact. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 29. Father Chris made reference to this last week. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen. They stand in faith, but believe. They're standing in the truth of the Word of God. They're standing in the power of the Spirit. The ones who have not seen and yet believe are the true martyrs, are the true witnesses. A true martyr does not stand on doctrine. A true martyr doesn't stand on theological speculation. A true martyr doesn't stand in hope that something might happen or a desire for some outcome. A true disciple, a true martyr, is a witness of these things, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They know the truth by faith, and they stand in that truth and proclaim that truth as witnesses of the resurrection. They believe in the events that they have experienced by faith. Are you with me? Okay, you're martyrs. Got it? You're martyrs. Luke records the promise too. Don't forget this. Luke records the promise that God will equip the martyrs. He will equip the witnesses for the task of martyrdom when he says, and you will be clothed with power from on high. Now this verse, as I said, verse 48 of chapter 24, is a turning point for Luke in the use of the word martyrs. A martyr went from being a legal term to a spiritual term with that one verse. Okay? A witness to the resurrection as opposed to a witness for the prosecution. Luke only uses that term martyrs twice in the gospel, but in the Acts of the Apostles, which he also wrote, you suddenly see it just permeates every page of Acts of the Apostles. What changed? Well, what changed was the disciples were clothed with power from on high. He is making a strong point about the role of the disciple. For example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gives this charge to his disciples. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, my martyrs in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The calling of the disciples is to be witnesses to the resurrection, to be martyrs. Pray that my voice continues, okay? Then Luke also lists the characteristics that the disciples were looking for when they were choosing Judas's replacement. Did you catch this? In Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, he says, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, So basically somebody who'd been around from the very beginning. One of these men, he says, must become with us a witness to the resurrection. One of these men must become with us a martyr. And we heard it in the passage that Hugh read this morning in Acts chapter 3. It says, you, and Peter is talking to the Jews, and he's saying, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And in Acts chapter 2, when Peter is talking to the crowd, he says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. A martyr bears witness to the truth. He or she is a witness of the resurrection. For example, Luke goes on to explain how this witnessing is carried out in the life of the church in the chapters which follow. He says in Acts chapter 5, let me go there. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 27, they arrest the apostles. The Jews arrest the apostles. And they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And then they say, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. You know, it's, they're trying to shut the disciples up. We told you, don't speak in his name. Don't do this. We're going to arrest you. We'll kill you if we have to. But Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. They're not going to be cowed. They're going to be witnesses of the resurrection regardless of the consequences. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that we might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We are witnesses of these things. Now that's in a, as it were, a court kind of setting. They're standing up for the truth. They're proclaiming the resurrection with their very lives, but they're also, Luke goes on to point out that being witnesses of the resurrection is an evangelical tool as well. Okay? In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius sends men to Peter and Peter comes to Cornelius's home, Cornelius being a Gentile, in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, Peter addresses these Gentiles and says, you know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ, the word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen as by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. There, Peter is proclaiming to the Gentiles, this is the truth. This is the gospel. This is what's going to save you. You need to be also a martyr, a witness to the resurrection. But Luke also points out that God bears witness to himself in his own ways, to the truth in Jesus Christ, and he does it always and everywhere. Paul is arguing with the crowds in Lystra. The crowds in Lystra wanted to make Paul and Barnabas gods. Okay, and Paul they were going to call Mercury because he talked a bunch. Okay, and Barnabas, oh, he's Zeus. He just sends his messenger out here, Paul, who's a prattler, and he'll tell all this stuff. But they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And so here's the message that they proclaim to the group in Lystra. In Acts chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, in past generations, he allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without a witness. For he did good, and he gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. The witness is all around us, all the time. We are all witnesses of these things. Let me give you a couple of examples. This past Monday, there was a fabulous eclipse, in case you missed it. I hope you didn't. It was pretty awesome. There were a lot of ways that God proclaimed his glory in that one event, okay? My brother's granddaughter, Adeline, she's about 9 years old, okay? She and her brother were out, you know, the eclipse went. I was very interested in both Dallas and Cleveland, okay? Because Dallas is where my brother and his family is, all right? And I was texting back and forth with him about what was going on there. And I was texting back and forth with Miranda's sister, Leanne, in Cleveland, and what was going on there. It was pretty interesting just to hear what they were experiencing. I also texted back and forth with the McKinneys and what was going on there. We actually got to see some of it. That was pretty cool.
But they got totality.
What's that?
But they got totality.
Both Dallas and Cleveland got totality, exactly. But anyway, Adeline, who was my brother's granddaughter, she and her brother and their mother, Brittany, were all out in the backyard, and they had their eclipse glasses on. And Adeline turns to her mother and says, I think God is happy today because everyone is watching his creation.
Booyah.
Booyah. Yeah, you got it. All right. You know, witness to the resurrection right there. And afterward, I looked at all these different news feeds and so forth about it, and it was pretty interesting. But I went on the NASA site, and there was a NASA astronomer who was in Dallas, and she was reporting on what she had seen. And one of the things that she really wanted to see was the Devil Comet. Okay? But at the time of totality, you could see Jupiter off to the left and Venus off to the right, and the Devil Comet was between Jupiter and the Sun, or in this case, the Moon, which was occluding the Sun, okay? And here's what she said. Even in the darkness of totality, I wasn't able to spot the Devil Comet with my naked eye or with my camera or my telescope. It was occluded by the corona. The devil was hidden behind the crown of the sun. Whoa. Wow. All right. And my sister-in-law, Leanne, who lives in Cleveland, she's not a believer. But we were texting back and forth, and it was pretty awesome. And then her final statement about it all, when everything was said and done, she just said, now that was awesome. God was speaking, whether she was listening or not. God was speaking. God was making his way known. And Miranda and I had a little bit of fun too. I don't know how much you watched after the eclipse started, but you know, it started for us the bottom right hand corner, and it went across, and it looked a little bit like a crescent moon at the beginning, you know. But then when it got up after the point of totality, Miranda and I went out and looked again, and there was a smile.
Yeah.
And it was just God smiling on all of us. Pretty awesome. But it happens every day. It's not just one day. God is constantly revealing himself, just like he said in Acts chapter 14. He does not leave himself without a witness. You guys who are going on the camp out this coming weekend, I lay down a challenge for you. God does not leave himself without a witness. Look for the signs of his presence. Look for the signs of the glory of God. Be martyrs. Be witnesses to the resurrection. And you may even have an opportunity to share that witness with others who are around at the campsite. By the way, there's a good dad joke that Miranda told me the other day about camps, campouts, and so forth. You do know that you cannot run through a campground, right? No, you have to ran because they're past tense. Okay. I just report what I hear.
You were doing so well.
Thank you, Brian. Anyway, but seriously, guys and girls, you're going to be out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Encourage one another to witness to the resurrection while you're there. See the signs that God is giving you. Share those with one another, and maybe even God gives you the opportunity to share it with others who are around you. A martyr is not exclusively one who sheds blood. A martyr is one who is a witness to the truth. St. Peter even exhorts us and says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Don't beat them over the head, but love them. Share the good news. Share the witness to the resurrection with those around you. Always be prepared to make a defense of the hope that is in you. A martyr gives of himself or herself, regardless of the consequences, to draw attention to Christ, to bear witness to the truth in Jesus. Y'all are witnesses of these things. Encourage one another. Look for the signs of his presence. Be a martyr. Be a witness to the resurrection. Amen.